Morning. December 27th, last Sunday in the year. When next we meet, y'all will have had to switch over to the new calendars. Unless you're on your phone, and then it does that automatically. Speaking of calendars, if anybody needs some, Deb has some sitting back there next to her. I want to talk this morning about having a thankful heart. I don't know about you, one of the downsides of being the one delivering the message is as I'm going over the message, I'm getting tested on the message. I get the same thing after I deliver it. Don't get me wrong. It's not a once and done, but a thankful heart. As those that were here Wednesday night know, I was a little less gracious than I ought to be, like a lot less gracious than I ought to be, and really, really, really need Jesus. And I covet your prayers because I need Jesus each and every day. In Romans 1, beginning with verse 18, says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, and God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." You're familiar with this passage talking about people that ignore God and try to deny God, and we can look in the world around us and we can see that manifest all around us. But notice in the middle of that, one of the signs of those who reject God is nor were thankful. And while we may not glorify God, there are times when we find ourselves, or at least I find myself, I'm assuming that because I'm a man of like passions as you all, you know, we'll all pretty much have some of the same struggles, find ourselves not thankful. And as I was going over the scriptures for this, and I was thinking about the message this week, a couple of things had come up. But first off, Wednesday night, when I got the mail for the church, I'm not going to read the whole letter, but we had a letter from one of the people where we had reached out. The church does an angel tree with the prison fellowship. So children who have a parent incarcerated, and Deb and I have been doing this. I don't know if we've done this every year, but I know we've done this, or this church has done this probably for at least 15 years. How we've reached out and we've registered for children each year and provided Christmas gifts on behalf of an incarcerated parent. And we've done this all this time. And this is the first time we ever got a letter from one of the parents. And without giving too much information in it, or any information in it really, other just to say this, that we got a letter from one of the prisoners, one of the people incarcerated. And he says, "This is my 12th year incarcerated on a 22-year sentence to serve. And I have never been so humbled by God and the relationships he has provided with each of us. Asking another person to provide for my child and family is so difficult. And I struggle deeply with pride issues. But I wanted to personally tell you and tell you and every single member of this amazing, faithful, special church has provided gifts and food and brought our Lord's unconditional love to my home. Thank you so much." 15 years reaching out to families, and we got a thank you letter. So many times we forget to say thank you. So many times we forget to be grateful for the things that God has done. And so many times we get wrapped up in our own in our own mind. A couple of ways I was tested this week and really had to sit there and reevaluate what I think, or reevaluate my own relationship with God, reevaluate how I'm acting and showing the love of God. There was a person who contacted me back in the spring who is in Germany and was having some issues and was asking for prayer, and I'd been reaching out to him, and I'd tried to get people that I could contact him with, because I'm not going to Germany. God hasn't called me there so far, and he certainly hasn't made the provision for me to go. And as I was dealing with this person, it was very obvious that he needed in-person care. He needed relationship care that I could not provide. So I was doing what I could do to provide that, you know, to make the connections. And things seemed to be going very well. And then a few days ago, I got this quite a few Facebook Messenger audio clips. You ever? So it's not a... It's not, you know, in Messenger, somebody writes something out. Well, this was an audio. And I got to hear this very vulgar, very angry railing against me, against all other ministers, against God. And like, nope. Click. Disconnect. Sorry. But I had to check my heart. Am I upset because the person's railing against God, or am I upset because he's railing at me? Got to check my heart. On Thursday night, Christmas Eve, about 5:30, I get a phone call from somebody that had found the church's contact information and was calling, trying to get help. They were in a situation they felt unsafe and needed to get out of where they were. And there was nothing I could do Thursday night, but a good portion of Christmas Day I was calling around seeing if we could make arrangements. And Debbie and I went and got this person out of this situation and got them into another bit of housing. I said, you know, invited them to church. I said, absolutely, there is no obligation. We're not going to tell you have to come to church. Not going to make that contingent. You have a need, we reach out to a need. And everything seemed to be fine Christmas night. Last night, the person called me and accused me of trying to manipulate them and basically being oppressive to the poor and the whole bit. And to the point where she's railing against me, I ended up hanging up the phone. But I had to do a check in my heart. Why am I upset? Am I upset because the way they're treating me? Am I upset of anything? Or do I have enough faith to believe the things that I proclaim from this pulpit, that God is in control, that God causes all things to work together for good, that God really does love us, and that as a follower of Jesus Christ, if I am crucified with Christ, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't have a right to become offended by what somebody else does. Especially to personal. Is it in my heart to still be gracious to somebody even though they've been railing against me? And if I'm not, what's that an indication of? It's an indication of a lack of trust in God in my own life. I'm not saying it was fun to be railed at. I'm not saying it's fun to be falsely accused. Y'all have heard this. False accusations is one of those things that sets me right off. But I had to re-examine my heart. Am I so upset about a false accusation that I become unwilling to reach out to someone else? Or am I thankful for what God has done? Do I trust that as I've said here from here before, the things we go through color our perspectives. And maybe she thought that I had manipulated her because she had been manipulated in the past. But that was what she was used to. That was what she was looking for. So that was what she was seeing. It becomes a test of me. Am I gracious and forgiving knowing that God has forgiven me? Or do I hold something against her when I have no clue what brought her to that point? Do I desire that God work in her life? Praise God, I do desire God work in her life, but I had to examine it. I had to look at it. I had to stop literally and think about it. What is the reason this is bothering me, and why, how does that line up with what I teach? Amen. And I have to go through this. We all have to go through situations where we're going to find ourselves being tested. Are we thankful to God for what He's already done, or do we look at our circumstances and say, well, you were good back then, but this is messed up? Do we say, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know how you're going to work this out. But I know that you are God over all, that you love me, and that you're working in this situation. And Father, in the midst of it, I examine my heart. Do we take the time to examine our hearts to make sure we're not becoming an obstacle? I had to do that this week. It's not pleasant. But I had to do that. Psalm 100. It's the whole psalm, but it says verse 1 through 5, because there's only 5 verses in the psalm. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. That's the entire psalm. Nowhere in that does it say, unless you got things going on in your life. Nowhere in there it says, unless you're having a bad day. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. It says, it doesn't matter what's going on, praise God anyway, be thankful to God anyway, because God deserves our thanks, God deserves our praise anyway. Not relying upon situations, not relying upon circumstances, not relying upon how we feel. God deserves our praise. He is faithful. We sang that song, what a faithful God have I. I love that song. His truth endures for all generations. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Praise God. His mercy is everlasting. Praise God. We have another opportunity to get it right. Praise God. There's another opportunity to seek His face. We might miss the chance, but as long as we have breath to breathe, as long as we are upright, the same with Scott, as long as we're vertical and not horizontal, it's a good day. God is still at work, and there's still another chance, still another opportunity. As long as we're on the right side of the dirt, another way of saying it. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12. Says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Let's go back to the farther. As the elect of God, holy and beloved. Do we realize that that's what we are? That we don't stand before God in our own righteousness, but we stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are holy and beloved of the Father. And because we are holy and beloved of the Father, it should reflect in our lives. It should reflect in the way we treat other people. It should reflect in the way we go about our day. It says, put on tender mercies. It doesn't say that's automatically going to happen. It says, work at it. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Work on these things to display to the people around us that we are the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Oh, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that is hard. Another thing that's hard is sometimes forgiving ourselves is hard. But God is still at work. Keep on halfway through verse 13. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not should, not ought to. Must do. We think about that sometimes. I have to forgive. Well, I wasn't going to forgive you, but God told me I had to, so, yeah. Well, you know, I'm reading my Bible. It tells me if I don't forgive you, God won't forgive me. So I guess, therefore, I have to forgive you. That's not it. It's recognizing what God has done in my life, what God has done in your life, that it overflows, and we are so grateful to what God has done in me that I can be gracious to somebody else. I can have love and joy and peace and long-suffering with other people. I can have kindness and meekness and gentleness with other people because what God has done in me. Because He has changed me. I'm not the person that I used to be. Praise God. He is still at work and still continuing to direct me. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So you can be kind and gentle and meek, but if you don't really love somebody, it's going to come through. And it's going to make everything else look like a facade or a show. That love has to come through us. And that love, we don't get by our own wisdom. We don't get by our own understanding. We get by allowing God to work in us. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. Again, and be thankful. We have a thankful heart of what God has done. Do we have a thankful heart and remember what God has done in each and every circumstance? When we find ourselves facing difficulties, when we find ourselves interacting with an obnoxious person, are we thankful what God has brought us through? Are we thankful for what He's done in our lives? Are we thankful that, you know, back in the day I wouldn't be able to hold my tongue, but now God has put a lock on my tongue and praise God I didn't say anything that I was going to regret. Are we thankful for what God has done and is doing in our lives? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The way we conduct ourselves, when we conduct ourselves in business, how we conduct ourselves in any situation. You go to the store and you pay for something and they give you back too much change and you just return it. And you just hand it over. It's like, oh, you didn't have to, you know, thank you, but I wouldn't have known. Yeah, but I would have and God would have too. Does it reflect in our lives that God has made changes in our hearts? And see, back in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And it goes on, tells us how we should do that. Teaching and admonishing one another. We're encouraging other people to walk in the grace of God too. Wasn't it wonderful when God did this? Wasn't it fantastic how God has worked in this situation? And reminding people and rehearsing it and bringing it out and giving testimony. We talked about that in the lesson in the Bible study. How out of Revelations, it talks about them overcoming the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and not loving our lives unto the death. Giving praise to God. Not only what He has done in our lives, but giving praise back to Him. How it helps us to overcome and to stand strong in the midst of turmoil. That is, we're thankful to God for what He's done. It shows in our life. It shows in our relationships. Praise the Lord. Go back to Psalms. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 8. Says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Stop right there for just a second. Can we praise God that He has shown Himself faithful, that He has been gracious and full of compassion, that He has been patient with us, He's been slow to anger. He is good to us, and His tender mercies cover us. There's a scripture I believe it's Lamentations, where as it said, is of the Lord's tender mercies that we are not destroyed. We ever look at our circumstances and look how bad things are sometimes and realize that things could have been a whole lot worse? It is of the Lord's tender mercies that we are not destroyed. I tell people all the time, everything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God, because that's what I deserved. And I've almost died enough times that he could have let it go through any of them. And that's where I would be right now. But because of the tender mercies of the Lord, because of his long suffering, because of his patience toward me, I am still able to stand here and still able to share the word of God with you. It is the tender mercies of God working in your life that has brought you to this point. It is the tender mercies of God and the long suffering dealing with the people that I dealt with this week, that God is still dealing with them. There's still another day. There's still another opportunity. I've been able to plant. I've been able to water. It's not up to me to bring the increase. It's up to God to bring the increase. I am called to be faithful to do what he's called me to do, to show his love and to show his light to other people, as are you. Each and every one of us, we have that same calling on us. We are called to do the work of an evangelist. That's not the same thing as having the gifting of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. When the 12 were sent out by Jesus, he sent them out to cast out devils, heal the sick, and bring the good news. When the 70 were sent out, he told them the same thing. They're called to go out and show and say that the kingdom of God is near. And show it by their lives. And that was before Jesus was even crucified. That was before he rose from the dead and brought redemption with him. The word was to go forth, and that hasn't changed. In the end of Matthew, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus had already risen from the dead, sent forth that command. That hasn't changed. We are each called to do that, to go out and share the love of God, to share the word of God with the people around us. But if we get wrapped up and unthankful in our own hearts because of our circumstances, then we don't do what we're called to do. And we become an obstacle in the way to reach other people. We become a stumbling block. The Bible tells us that it's better that a millstone were around our neck and cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. We ever think about that? Praise God for his tender mercies. We have a day. We have this day. However much of this day God lets us have. And if he lets us have all 24 hours, praise God. If he lets us have tomorrow, praise God. But each and every moment we have an opportunity to show the love of God to the people we encounter. And we're called to do that. Back in Psalm 145, verse 10, says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and all your saints, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Are we doing that? We're called to be saints. Scripture tells us that. And with the work of his hand, so all your works shall praise you, O God. All your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and talk about your power. Do we testify what God has done in our lives to the people we encounter? I know some of them don't want to hear it. I know maybe a lot of them don't want to hear it. That's not on us. What's on us is to be obedient to what God has called us to do. To show his love and give thanks. Be thankful unto him. Verse 12. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord upholds all who falls down and raises up all who are bowed down. God lifts us up. God gives us the strength. God gives us the ability. God makes the divine connections to be able to share his word with people. Something we never want to waste. We do, but we never want to. So we should get up and keep going. Keep continuing on with a faithful heart, a thankful heart, to be faithful to God and what he's called us to do, to proclaim His greatness to the people we encounter, to show His love. Final passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 14. Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." Ow. That "be patient with all" thing kind of hurts, don't it? Verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks. That's a sign of a thankful heart. That no matter what's going on, if, you know, problems at work, problems at home, problems at, you know, the grocery store, problems wherever we are. But in the midst of it all, can we give thanks to God? "Thank you, Lord. I don't understand what's going on here, but I know that you are great and gracious. I know, Father, that you not only love me, but you love the people that you send me out to. I know, Father, that as I proclaim your word, as I stand as a light in the midst of darkness, it is up to you to bring the increase. It is not up to me. I am called to be faithful. And as I stand in the faithfulness, Lord, that you continue to work through me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, Lord, that I messed up. I raised my voice at my wife, or I raised my voice and got upset at somebody. And I thank you, Father, that even in the midst of that, you show me how much I need you each and every day. Even in the midst of turmoil, you show me that I rely upon you and not my own strength. I am thankful, Father, that you are continuing to teach me and to guide me." Are we thankful for the things that go on in our lives? So many times we get upset. Something I do. So many times I get upset and I have to stop and think, and I have to stop and go back to it, recognizing what the Word of God says. "The Word of God is hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." John says, if we have no sin, we make him to be a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "Lord, I find I'm still unrighteous." Keep confessing. "Lord, I find I'm still struggling." Keep confessing. "God, I should be there by now." Says who? My own pride. Silver and gold is refined by taking the raw ore and crushing it and getting out the rock, as much of the rock as possible, and putting the metal ore from the rock, and the rock that wouldn't let go, into a crucible, into a cauldron, into this big, heavy, heavy, heavy pot, and turning up the heat. And as the heat turns up, the impurities bubble to the top. And as the impurities bubble to the top, they are scraped off. It's called removing the dross. The impurities come up, and the refiner takes them away. And when there's no more impurities coming up, but the refiner can't yet see his reflection, because that's how you know it's right. That's how you know it's done, when the refiner can look in this molten mess and see his reflection because it is so pure. But when he looks in and there's nothing else coming up, but there's no reflection, he turns up the heat and he turns up the pressure so that there's more and more and more. Do we wonder sometimes why we go through testing and trials? Because our faith is being refined as silver and gold are refined. God is changing us. He is molding us. He is taking us because he has a plan and purpose for us. Because we are called to be lights in the midst of darkness. Pick up your newspaper. Is this world in darkness? Praise God. God sent us to be lights in the midst of darkness. What good is light if you got no darkness? You ever turn on a flashlight in bright sunshine? Boy, that was helpful. But if you turn it on in the middle of the night, now you can see something. Remember we sang as kids, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine"? Sometimes real little bitty light. But a real little bitty light shining in the midst of darkness is visible for miles. So as God is working in us, He is making us to be better lights, that we might reflect the glory of God to the world around us. Because we are here for just such a time as this. We are not here by mistake. The God who knit us together in our mother's womb knew exactly when we would be here. You don't believe me? Read your Bible where it says, in the fullness of time, Christ came. And you go into Matthew and you go into Luke and you start looking at the genealogies. You go looking through the Old Testament all the way back to Genesis and you see the prophecy that the Messiah is coming. All through the Old Testament you see these prophecies long, long before He ever came. What, 700 years before? No. Yeah, 700 years before Jesus came, the prophet told the king, one of the J kings, I think it was Jeroboam, but one of the J kings said, ask a sign. And he says, oh no, I won't tempt the Lord to ask a sign. And the prophet said, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call His name Emmanuel. And this shall be a sign that God is going to keep His word. Now, this was going to be a sign that God was going to keep His word about a battle that was about to happen in a few days. And it was 700 years before the prophecies fulfilled. But in God, as God declared it, it is done in heaven. It is finished in heaven. And He who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it. It is finished in heaven. We are walking this out, but God has already done it. So let's give praise to God for what He's done. Let's have a thankful heart no matter what our circumstances are, because this is not the end of the story. The end of the story is written, and God is faithful in all of His ways. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You. We thank You, Father, that You are gracious to us. Lord, that You are merciful to us. Father, that You are working in us, Lord, that You are the one who refines us, that You are the one who heals us, that You are the one who directs us. And You have called us to be lights in the midst of darkness in this age. Lights in the midst of darkness in this place. So help us, Father, to be faithful. But Lord, give us a thankful heart as we rely upon You, as we trust You, as we reflect on what You have already done. Father, that our hearts would sing forth Your praise, that our lips would give praise to You, that our lives would reflect Your glory to the people we encounter, that we would be faithful witnesses who will not lie. We will be faithful and truthful in all of our ways. And we will be thankful, Lord, for the things that You have done, because You have already finished it. We are just walking it out. We give You glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.